Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Good Saturday morning. It is week 10 of the NFL season. It's time for another edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. The show is brought to you in part by our friends over at Giovanni's of Wilmer. Check them out online, giovannisofwilmer.com. For the next hour, we're going to be talking about all things NFL Week 10. Our goal, as always, is to help you win your league. So let's introduce who's on the show. Tell me how your Loon Fantasy season is going up to Week 10. Go ahead, Lyle.
Lyle Dickman here. Doing all right. I'm very happy that I made one of my first big significant trades in the Loon League in a long time anyway, and can't wait to get Kenneth Walker back on the field in 2 weeks to pair him up with CMC for a good stretch run.
Ken Walker. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, we're 3-6. It's not looking great. I was part of two blockbuster trades. One of them was with Lyle. We can break that trade down later. But I think I traded you Walker. Is that right, Lyle?
Yep.
And then I just did a trade with my arch nemesis, Eric. I had to put my running backs on sale because that's all I had so that I could have – I mean, I had guys in my starting lineup that were projected to get 0 or 1 point. So I had to do something.
It's how it goes, man. I am 5-4, finally got back on the winning track. 4-0, then 0-4, and finally we got one back. So hoping to keep things rolling here. It says I've got like a 75% chance of something like that of the playoffs. I don't know. I just never feel comfortable in this league at any point. We'll see how it goes. On the show, we're going to be talking start-sit for Week 10. We're going to do the United States Marine Corps waiver wire warriors. We're also going to talk daily fantasy for this week. But first, we have the injury report, some new injuries that have popped up. It was a kind of a nasty Week 10 last week. Dak Prescott out, short-term IR. He's got a hamstring issue. He said, my hamstring has never felt, I've never felt anything like that before. It looked like he broke his hand, too. Patrick Mahomes running around with an ankle injury. He should be fine. Trevor Lawrence up against the Vikings this week. There's a chance he might have season-ending surgery on his non-throwing shoulder, which would mean a Mac Jones situation to make the Jacksonville Jaguars even worse. Baker Mayfield showed up with a toe. He should be fine. Zach Moss, season-ending for Cincinnati. That didn't matter. They played on Thursday night. James Conner has a finger issue, but he should be back on the field. That should not be an issue at all. Over to the wide receivers, CeeDee Lamb. Boy, he played he had a bad shoulder injury and kept going out there and playing. I don't know what's going to happen with him. I think he is week to week. Chris Olave, terrible concussion. He's going to be out until at least week 13, I would say. A.J. Brown with a knee injury. He should be on the field. Devonta Smith has a hamstring. They're not really saying too much about him, but you're going to want to check tomorrow to see if those two guys are going to be playing for the Eagles. Drake London has a hip pointer. Don't know the severity of that. Michael Pittman with a finger, but you're probably not starting Michael Pittman these days. Keon Coleman, Sterling Shepard showing up. They should be fine for Week 10. And tight ends, well, the only one of note on here, Kyle Pitts showed up with a hamstring injury. I think he's going to be a full go. Thursday night football, fellas. Wow. Lyle, we'll start with you. That was pretty close to the game of the year. What does Cincinnati have to do to win a game?
Yeah, that was a tough one for Joe Burrow. He's had a couple of these this season. I think he had a 5-touchdown game where they didn't win as well. But that's what happens when you run into the Ravens. I don't even think they had a great Derrick Henry game last night and still were able to score, 35 points? Granted, neither of these defenses maybe is, top 10 or anything in the league, but the way they were able to move that ball up and down the field at will was pretty impressive. And the change of pace, I think it was the Bengals went from down 7 and in 2 plays had the ball back and tied. So that was a pretty cool moment in the football game too.
Jack, is Lamar Jackson the MVP?
You know, if he wasn't surrounded by so much talent, it'd be pretty much a no-brainer. I think when you have Derrick Henry and Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews, it makes Derrick Henry alone. It takes a little bit something off to where it's going to be difficult with Derrick Henry there to say he's a league MVP. But I like to think of those guys that without them, the team had zero chance. A lot of quarterbacks would be succeeding in Baltimore right now.
Mm-hmm.
But Lamar is the best of those. Like if Patrick Mahomes was in Baltimore, they'd be the Super Bowl champs for sure. Because, you know, Mahomes lost so many weapons. But Joe Burrow and Chase went off on Thursday. They had a first down, like 87-yard, 13-second play for a touchdown. And that was like they had just gotten the ball back. One play, long touchdown, and done. It took them 13 seconds to get back to right. 428 yards and four touchdowns out of this guy. It's time to start putting Joe Burrow in the MVP conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, well, hopefully none of you listening had to play against Jamar Chase on Thursday night. I have him in one league, 63 points.
Against him in one league. Yeah. But it was more of a touchdown league. So fortunately, it was only in the 30s, I think, that he scored for me. But yeah, or against me.
In the Dynasty League, John, at the beginning of the season, I offered you Chase and someone for Lamb and someone. And I know you're kicking yourself now for not taking that trade.
I am. He's risky as heck. The league I'm in.
In the Dynasty League, he put up 64 points in the Dynasty League.
Yeah, I know he did. I know. And my team name in that league is Soda Sopra Roto, which in Italian stands for upside or bust. And that's been that whole team. I have drafted Chase and been let down by that guy for years. That's why I never would have traded you, but worked out okay when it works out. All right. Yeah. We're going to come back. Time to talk daily fantasy news and strategy. It's the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome. If you miss any part of today's show, it's online, 941theloon.com. Click on the Fantasy Football tab, or it's even easier if you just go get that free 941 The Loon app. And I think Nate just put it right at the bottom. Just click and play. So we make it easy for you here at the Loon. Time to talk daily fantasy for week 10, and let's kick it off with quarterbacks, Lyle.
Well, I think there's a couple obvious ones. I'm going to save a few bucks. I'm actually going to go with Sam Darnold. They get the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are pretty much mailing it in at this point. $6,200. I think Darnold's pretty much put up 17 or more fantasy points in all but one game, that Jets game in London. So let's just chalk that up to an exception. I think Darnold can triple up and give you a good value.
Jack, what do you got for quarterbacks?
Yeah, I'm actually rolling Sam Darnold as well. If you want to save a few bucks and you're going to put your money into your wideouts and whatnot, I think Russell Wilson at 5,900 is a safe bet. Now, Washington just signed another defender, got a trade from the Saints. They brought in, his name's slipping my mind, but you'll know the name, Lattimore. They brought in Lattimore from the Saints. So, you know, they're going to be a little bit bolstered up there, but Russell's looked pretty good in the two games where he's really had a full run at it. And for $5,900, you can save money and go elsewhere. But I am personally using Darnold.
Yeah, Wilson's averaging 271 passing yards a game in the last two. Three TDs, no interceptions. I like both those calls. What's his name? Doug Peterson in Jacksonville, I think, threw a little shade at Sam Darnold, so there might be a little something in that, too. If you need to spend a little bit more money, I like Brock Purdy against the Buccaneers. I think that's going to be quite the shootout. I don't even mind some Bo Nix against the Chiefs. I know the Chiefs defense is really good. Nix is getting it with, this is a GPP play only. This is not a cash play. Getting it done with his legs. So, and he's $6,000, and I don't think he'll be rostered on 1%. So I think he's a good GPP play. Running backs, Jack.
I'm going cheap on my running backs, John. The most expensive running back I have is $5,500. I'm taking a flyer. I'm going Ray Davis with Buffalo at Indy. Obviously just had a big game last week. He's part of the trade bait I got from Lyle. We'll see. And, of course, I didn't play him because why would I? wouldn't have mattered. I would have lost. But I'm saving some money, and I'm thinking game script. And I'm thinking Buffalo gets up and Ray gets some garbage time, or he gets that one long breakout catch. So, you know, again, not the guaranteed points, but I'm putting my money into my receivers.
There you go, Lyle.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of good value at the running back position, though. I as far as bargains, Kamara's a big one just because of volume. I think he had 30-some touches last week, and they have no one on the Saints team that's going to touch the ball. So if you got a lot of money, spend it on him. I just like a lot of Vikings, too. Aaron Jones, $6,700. He also, it's been 20-plus 20-plus touches pretty much every game for Aaron Jones, and I think that continues this week in Jacksonville.
I don't mind DeAndre Swift, $6,500. Another guy, though, I like, God, quietly, just Mr. Volume and just getting the job done is James Conner. I never think about this guy at all, but they just keep giving him the ball. He had 18 carries for over 100 yards last week. He only played 48% of the snaps last Sunday. I wrote that down. But before that, he played 84% and 80%. He is the top option in their backfield, for whatever that means to you. And they're up against the Jets. And I think he's a great play at $6,500, just a volume play totally. How about, yes?
Let me give you one more real quick.
Sure.
Again, these are, you know, if you want to, if you're entering a 2,000, 3,000 person lineup, and, you know, you're going to have to take shots to get lucky to win.
Absolutely.
So, right. So one I'm taking is Cam Akers. Mm-hmm. Reason being, game script, I think Minnesota blows them out. And I think that they can turn to the backup and give Jones a little bit of rest. And he's already faced Jacksonville once, where he averaged just over 4 yards a carry, 13 carries for 53 yards. So the fact that he's already faced this Jacksonville defense might come into play as well. So, and I mean, you can get him for $4,700, big play dependent, or maybe garbage time volume. But that's where I'm aiming with my running backs this week, because like we talked off air, Lyle, the DraftKings is being cutthroat on these running backs.
Yeah, Ty Chandler is not a thing anymore at all.
No.
Wide receivers, Lyle.
Got a couple at 5,300. I like Jordan Addison. I mean, who doesn't want Justin Jefferson? But if you don't have $9,000, good luck. He said 5,300. I think they're going to get him more involved again, so that's a good stack with Darnold. And I like DeAndre Hopkins. I know we're kind of chasing him for what he did last week, but again, besides Travis Kelce, that Kansas City pass offense doesn't have a lot of options, and for $5,300, I think you can do a heck of a lot worse than that.
Yep. Jack?
Yep. I've got Hopkins at 53. I'm throwing in Darnell Mooney at 6,500 with London banged up, and Falcons like to hang it up on the Saints if we can, and again, they just got rid of Lattimore. And I am pairing Justin Jefferson with Sam Darnold. I'm spending big. I think Jefferson, especially after Chase just had a big game, he's watching that. I think he's going to have a big game. Definitely over 100 yards and at least one touchdown.
I'm grabbing the other Falcon receiver, Ray McCloud, $4,300. He's played 80% of the snaps on the field. He caught his first touchdown of the year last week. And as Jack said, Drake London's got a hip injury. Who knows how much time he's going to be spending out there. Another value guy, well, 5,000, it's 5,100. Juwan Jennings is probably going to be back on the field. We have seen him explode in the absence of Deebo Samuel, and now Brandon Ayuk is out for the year. Samuel's going to probably play, but Juwan Jennings is trusted by Brock Purdy. I expect a lot of points in that Buccaneers 49ers game. How about tight end? Yeah.
Sorry, I want to throw one more at you that I forgot. But Jalen Tolbert, Philly coming to Dallas. Oh. 6 targets from Rush last week. Lamb's a little banged up. And I think they're going to have to release the dogs and say, listen, I don't care if you have to throw a Hail Mary on first down every set of downs. You put some freaking points up this week or everyone's fired.
You know,
Cooper, like they're right on the cusp.
Cooper Rush didn't look that bad. People were dropping
the
football.
He did not look that
bad. Yeah. No, he is a trusted backup for sure. Tight ends, Lyle or Jack, I got you first.
Yeah, no worries. I'm going George Kittle, $5,800. To me, it's the no brainer. Like, you know, it's obviously the chalk play if you get the $5,800 in your budget left. But San Fran traveling to Tampa Bay. Tampa is terrible against tight ends. And just like on the Tampa Bay side with Kate Otten, there's not a lot of other options out there. Even if Jennings comes back, it's still going to be, I think, Kittle's game. So I like Kittle to have a big game.
Sure. Lyle?
Yeah, Kittle, Otten are on my list. You know what? Go dirty. Go get Taysom Hill. $4,000. Again, the Saints, they have nothing. And he is going to be involved somehow, some way. Throwing it, running it, catching it. He's Swiss Army knife and for $4,000. I mean, I'm shocked he's at $4,000.
Yeah.
That new coach is, I mean, they fired their coach, right? So they're going to have to do something.
Yeah, same play caller. Kubiak is still calling plays. I don't mind a little Hockenson at $4,200. He looked serviceable last week, and I think it's just going to get better. Drake May's favorite target is Hunter Henry, $3,900. If you're going to do a real punt job, Juwan Jennings, still picking on the Saints. I think he only had 3 catches last week, but still, 3 catches. At least you get your money back just out of the catches, and maybe one is in the end zone. He's $3,300. I mean, I don't know. It always frees up money for bigger and better wide receivers and running backs. Let's run through defenses. Go ahead, Lyle.
The one that jumped out to me was Bears, $3,000. We're at home against New England. I know May has played a little bit better and whatnot for the Patriots, but that's good value right there.
Jack, what do you got?
Yeah, I know the Chargers are the most expensive one, but Tennessee traveling to Los Angeles Chargers, east to west. When they face bad quarterbacks, Cleveland, New Orleans, Carolina, Las Vegas, they're averaging 14 fantasy points on defense per game. It's only when they face Patrick Mahomes or Kyler Murray or somebody like that that they don't do as well. And they put up 8 against Mahomes too. So now if you can't afford them, that number one defense in the league pretty much are the Broncos, and they're cheap this week because of Kansas City, but they're still serviceable, and Mahomes does turn the ball over. So it's not like I don't even know if he's had a 300-yard game yet, right? So it's not terrible to start the Broncos if that's all you can afford.
Steelers, yeah, they're taking on Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, but $3,000, I think there's some life in this team now. I think Russell's put some life into this team, and I think that kind of trickles over to the defense, who was awesome. The defense has been awesome to begin with. T.J. Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, and the gang. I don't have any trouble spending some money. I know Daniels is fantastic, but he's also a rookie, and he hasn't faced anything like this. I like him for $3,000. We're going to come back and talk United States Marine Corps waiver wire warriors fantasy football foursome on the Loon. Well, pizza and football, we know that's a winning combination, and you can have great pizza if you just head over to Giovanni's Pizza right here in Wilmer. Locally owned, locally operated. That should make you feel good to be shopping local. And, hey, if you don't need a hot pizza right now, grab a few of their take-and-bake options. They've got some unique flavors, just some different stuff, and fresh ingredients. I don't know. They have pizza. They have wings. They have wraps. All this football food, you can find it at Giovanni's of Wilmer. Call them. Take a break from cooking and enjoy the football games. 235-5555 online at giovannisofwilmer.com. It is time for the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. Ugh. Well, how do we talk about this? Well, we were just talking off air once again about the Loon Wasteland of, players on the waiver wire. Anyway, there's probably some value out there for you, though. Quarterbacks, Lyle.
Oh, my gosh. There are a few quarterbacks out there. Mm-hmm. I'm probably starting with Bo Nix. I think he's available in 50% of leagues, so he'd be one to really make sure you're looking out to at least roster as a backup. And someone that's hurt, that's kind of heated up here, I'm surprised that he's not getting a little more love, is Justin Herbert. And I think
yes.
They've changed their offense over the last few weeks significantly. They are not just running the ball 40 times a game anymore. So, and the receivers while they're not great, they're healthy right now and ready to go. So if you could find Justin Herbert, who looks like he's available in about 55% of leagues, he'd be a good bye week plug-in as well.
Jack.
Yeah, I agree. I think Tua Tagovailoa is going to be good. I don't know if you could run this guy the rest of the season. But he does play Las Vegas in week 11. He's at the Rams coming up. Thrown for 230-plus yards in his two games back, 3 combined touchdowns. No turnovers from him, which is really good. So, but I think that offense is going to start to slowly come a little more to life. And if you need a quarterback and you could actually, and someone would have told you, hey, you can get Tua, you'd probably jump all over it. So he's an option.
Russell Wilson's out there in 63% of leagues, and we talked about him in the last segment, or I did. He's got a beautiful deep ball. They just traded for Mike Williams. They've got George Pickens. Wilson hasn't had any interceptions in 2 games. In a super flex league, you'd be crazy not to have this guy rostered. Deep league play, if you want, or if you're in need and a gambler, I think they're going to probably shut Prescott down. I really do. And then that brings in Cooper Rush. And if Rush loses a couple of games, they might want to see what Trey Lance can do. And what he can do is run. What he can't do is pass. So, again, I'm not telling you got to pick this guy up. Trust me, he's available in 100% of leagues. but maybe a running option for you if you're in a super flex or a 14-team league, something like that. How about running backs, Jack?
Well, you want to talk about a wasteland. There are so many injuries throughout the league. So here's what I did. I went to the 60% mark and started there because normally we like to give you 50% available. I got to start at 40 so that I can give you at least a name or two. So we're going to talk a little bit of backups. You know, if you've got Tracy Jr. and you don't have Singletary, that's a problem because Singletary is the automatic only real fill-in. They really don't go to Gray very much. But Jaylen Warren is available in 40% of leagues. And he's starting to come online a little more with Russell under center. Man, outside of that, John, you're just trying to grab somebody's backup and hope something goes well. And if that's the case, if you're like me and you're throwing darts and just saying Hail Marys as you're doing it, Hail Marys before your Hail Marys, go pick up Ray Davis from Buffalo and hope they have good garbage time at the end of the season and that they slow cook down and give them a break.
Right on. Lyle.
Yeah, Ray Davis is on my list. He's about 80% of leagues. Looks like he's available. Yeah, we're looking for backup. Justice Hill. I had to play Justice Hill in the Loon League. I know he only got me 2 points on Thursday night, but he's a valuable backup and a handcuff. And, you know, maybe try out a guy like, I think Cam Akers was brought up. I mean, he's clearly the backup to Aaron Jones. So if Jones does go down, which has happened this year, Cam Akers is going to slot in for 15, 20 touches a game. So those are the guys you're looking for to just pick up handcuffs, backups, or guys where you know they're definitely going to get volume and not just split carries or split touches when they come in.
Right. One injury away, guys. The only other one I see on here, if you want to take a dart throw, is Keaton Mitchell from Baltimore. I know you picked up, or you talked about Justice Hill. But when Mitchell ran last year, he looked like Usain Bolt, and he is just coming off IR, had a bad injury. Typically, that doesn't translate into a lot of fantasy points. But again, we're talking about it. It's dart throws. It's week 10 of the NFL season. Let's move on to wide receivers. Lyle.
I got two. Xavier Leggett, he's available in about 55% of leagues. I actually drafted him in the Loon League, so I'm pretty happy to actually have him. But he's definitely the number one receiving option. Deontay Johnson is out. Adam Thielen isn't playing quite yet, maybe this week. But Leggett's had, I think, 4 touchdowns the last 6 games. So if you're, especially in a touchdown heavy league, you should be having him in your lineup. And Ray McLeod for Atlanta. I think if Drake London is not out or not playing, he's probably a must start, honestly, this week at this point. And I think he's available in 85% of leagues.
Jack.
Okay, so for some reason, Ricky Pearsall is still only owned in 23% of leagues, 24%. He's going to have to build rapport being the rookie with Purdy. And I think it's 100% going to happen this season. And I see him getting double-digit targets in multiple games coming up. And if not him, again, I like Jalen Tolbert. If I'm the Dallas Cowboys, John, I'm now tanking for draft picks.
Yep.
There's no way I'm going to keep Lamb out there in garbage time, you know, when we're getting destroyed. And also, by the way, just to put it out there, if you have CeeDee Lamb, this is a sell high opportunity. Try to get rid of him because his quarterback's gone. His team's falling to hell. There's no way McCarthy's the coach next year. I mean, it's all falling apart. But Jalen Tolbert, I think, is going to be the biggest beneficiary of that happening.
Complete overhaul necessary in Dallas. My jaw hit the table when I saw that Cedric Tillman is available still in 50% of leagues. This guy, I don't know what else this guy has to do to prove to you that he belongs on a roster spot. If he's out there, grab him. I'm telling you, these are the times to start getting rid of the roster cloggers and going for some upside for the playoffs. Another name on here that I see is Noah Brown from Washington. He's available in 90% of leagues. Hey, 6 targets, scoring. He's serviceable. There's going to be some big bye weeks coming up, and with lots of teams on bye, and you're going to want guys like this who you know will get you some points. How about tight ends, Jack?
Yeah. So I think tight ends is one of the places where there's still meat on the bones, and unfortunately, and I tried this strategy about 5 years ago where I drafted tight ends, thinking I could just use that in all the flex spots. Well, that's what I'm having to do now. So, but there's some love out there if you just need to get you some points. All right. I think the one to me that sticks out the most is going to be when waivers open up, if you can go pick up Gesicki. He's getting a lot of targets, a lot of holding on the game Thursday night. I know you got to wait another week for that to open up, but I would pick the guy up. And then this week, until they figure out what's going on in New Orleans, I think Taysom Hill's definitely got some flex play. He's such a gadget player. And again, we're talking fantasy points here, right? So I think he's going to put some points up because I don't know who else is going to do it in New Orleans other than Kamara. I mean, they're out of players.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Hill's value should be through the roof. It hasn't been, but I don't know what else they do.
He's throwing, he's running, he's catching, he's doing everything. And Gesicki, they're putting him outside. I mean, you know, at least while T. Higgins is gone, he's good. He's looking all right. Lyle.
Yeah, those are two good calls. 50% still available. Hunter Henry, he's top 10. He's a 10th tight end in PPR formats, excuse me. And I just can't believe he's still out there. Like, if anybody has been looking for a top 10, 12 tight end and they've been struggling and that guy's out there on the waiver wire, you got to scoop him up right away.
Yeah, I think you guys hit him. Well, I don't see too much else out there. Jonnu Smith, blah. It's a totally different team with Tua. I mean, I guess he'll be on the field. It's the best thing you can say. I just don't see anything else. I'm a Taysom Hill guy this week. We got time to run through defenses, so let's do that quick, Lyle.
Defenses are tough for just this week. I still like the Bears. That's the New England matchup. I suppose anytime you can just pick up a team that's facing one of the poorer offenses in the league, I think the Bears are the one for this week if you can scoop them up.
Jack.
Well, they have a bye in week 11, but other than that, you've got the Giants at Carolina. It's the Germany game, but that's a great matchup. Then they have a bye week. Then they come back. Tampa Bay comes to see them, a beat-up, injured Tampa Bay. Then they go to Dallas, and then they have New Orleans coming to them. I mean, that's just a murderer's row of teams that don't know which way they're going. I love Baker Mayfield, but the Bucs are just, you know, they're holding on. Which, by the way, John, I got the Bucs plus six against the Niners. I thought that was a deal.
Mm-hmm. Giants would be my first choice, too. I mean, 100%, but they weren't available in the league I wanted to pick them up in, so I grabbed Jack's Falcons. Saints, we've talked about it. There's nothing left except Alvin Kamara. So I'm going to roll with the Falcons and see what happens there. All right, time for Trench'em and Bench'em. We'll talk about all the remaining games for Week 10 of the NFL season. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Fantasy Football Foursome. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome, and it is time for Trench'em and Bench'em. What a game we saw Thursday night, but we've got a lot more on tap for Sunday and Monday. Teams on bye this week: Cleveland, the Raiders, Seattle, and Green Bay. But we kick it off at 8:30 a.m., Jack, in Munich, Germany. The Giants,
yeah,
and the Carolina Panthers, you're welcome.
Yeah, we send these teams over there, and the Germans are singing "Du hast mich," right? Like they think we hate them for sending them this matchup. Listen, we thought the Giants would be better. All right, so on the Giants side of the ball, there's a little hope. Danny Dimes hasn't looked bad, and he got that one. He just came off of he had the angry runs. He won the angry run segment on you know, from Good Morning Football last week. He scored his first touchdown in the stadium at home this season. So he's looking pretty good. I like Malik Nabers. Obviously, he's a WR1. I've got Tracy Jr. as my RB1. Traded with Lyle. I got Tracy Jr., Singletary. Who else I get, Lyle?
No, I was with LeBron, I think, on that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, with Brody. Yeah, I got those two guys, Travis Kelce and Brian Thomas Jr. And I gave them Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier, and Jalen Warren for the Steelers. So, but I had to have it. He gave me four starters. So they're all starters on my team.
Right on.
I might be starting Singletary in my flex just because I don't have any options. But you can start those three guys. The Giants defense is certainly startable, definitely serviceable. Get them in the trenches. I'm not kidding about Singletary in the flex. Carolina's 32nd against the run. And, you know, if they're up and game script calls it, you may see that. Onto the Carolina side of the ball, I'll tell you, them beating the Saints was a weird thing to watch. Chuba Hubbard, I'd have him in as a low RB1. Xavier Leggett, I don't know if you've watched the video of him talking about Spurgus, but you need to.
I brought it up last week.
He looks like the nicest guy on the planet. I mean, I just, this guy screams, make me the face of the franchise, and I won't even know you did it. So, but him, Coker, Somebody's got to have some flexapil as a receiver there. So you got a WR2 sexy flexi out of both of those guys. I'm not starting the Panthers defense, although if for some reason you had to, this would be the week to do it, but I'm not starting them. So I got three in Carolina, four in New York, and I'll be up watching the game.
All right. Giants favored by 6.5. Lyle, New England, Chicago.
I did take Carolina in the 6.5. I just wanted to say.
That a baby. On you, Lyle.
Yeah, New England's got a couple guys that you want to put in the trenches, starting with Ramondre Stevenson. Three of the last 4 weeks, he's been about 18, 20 points for fantasy, which that's running back one territory. But I think he's a safe RB2 this week. And then Hunter Henry. I think he's a low-end tight end one. You know, are you expecting multiple touchdowns and 10 targets? No, but if you're in a tight end mandatory, I think you got to be suiting him up. And then as for guys like Drake May, again, he belongs on the bench this week. And probably their top pass catching option is DeMario Douglas. He's very hit or miss, so I definitely would be keeping him on the bench this week. Not too many more guys in the trenches for the Bears. I think the two that you probably have to play are DeAndre Swift. I think at this point he's an RB1 the way things have gone the rest for him the last month or so. You just keep suiting him up. And I think despite all the disappointment and him walking off the field a bit disgruntled last week, DJ Moore, I think you still got to keep playing him just because I think his volume is the basis where you have to have him in your lineup. He's just playing enough and getting enough targets that you have to play him. I know Odunze had a big week last week. I'm keeping him on the bench. Keenan Allen, he's had 1 week where he got two touchdowns, so I'm keeping him on the bench as well. Maybe some Cole Kmet as well if you're in a really deep league. I think he's tight end 12 on the season, so I could maybe endorse a little Cole Kmet this week and do suit up that Bears defense against New England.
DJ Moore.
Kmet is a WR1 in my league, Cole Kmet.
DJ Moore, man, he's just one of those guys. It's like Tyreek Hill when he had Skylar Thompson throwing to him. You feel like you have to throw him out there. Ugh, the DJ Moore vibes are bad in Chicago right now. Chicago's favored by 6.5. I think that's a trap game for New England. Well, I get to break down Buffalo and Indianapolis. Up until Thursday night, I'll tell you, Josh Allen was the front runner for MVP. You're getting a little bit of a roller coaster from him, but of course you're starting him and James Cook. We talked about Ray Davis. He's seeing the field as well. Maybe he's in a flex spot if you're running into trouble with buys this week. Okay, so now we've got the Bills wide receiving core. Amari Cooper is banged up. Keon Coleman is banged up. So that means I think Khalil Shakir is a safe flex play this week. Keep your eyes open, though, for what happens with Cooper and Coleman. I don't mind. I want to say start that Buffalo defense. I heard today that Indianapolis's offense was better with Anthony Richardson than it is Joe Flacco, and that's yardage-wise. I'm still not ready to believe that entirely because Flacco went up against the Vikings last week and struggled like a lot of people do. In a super flex league, sure, go ahead and throw Flacco out there. Jonathan Taylor, he's a running back one. The receiving core. I guess if you've got a flex Pittman, but watch that injury. Josh Downs, I think, is a WR2. The guy always gets open. And if you want to take a long shot, then that's Alec Pierce. He should get a couple of targets for you. Buffalo favored by 3.5. Jack, you get Minnesota and Jacksonville.
Yep, well, this one, John, is going to be pretty easy. Essentially, if they're wearing purple, you probably want them in the trenches, and if they're not, you probably want them on the benches. Late-breaking news with Jacksonville. Well, I say late-breaking as far as the week goes, at quarterback. But real quick, on the Minnesota side, I'm literally starting everybody, and I've actually got Akers in a sexy flexi. I think Addison is a WR1 this week. I think Jefferson's going to ball out and get a couple of good plays, and I don't see him playing much in the fourth quarter. That should be the way this game goes. This is another game where the Vikings have an opportunity to go, hey, we're here. We've arrived. Jacksonville side of the ball, we've got return of the Mac, right? Mac Jones coming in at QB. I don't trust the guy at all. I think Minnesota defense is going to run all over him. And everyone on their team, John, has a questionable tag. I'm praying Brian Thomas Jr. gets something. Because he's my WR1 in the league now. But it's literally Evan Engram is really your only, we'll say safe play on this team. It's just like, who knows what's going on in Jacksonville. If you're way ahead in your league and you've got to start with these guys because of a bye week, okay. But if you're like me and if you don't win out, you're out of the playoffs. You just got to go with the best option and then forget about it. But there's a chance that they really do nothing. So I would say Evan Engram, tight end one. Thomas Jr., if he's healthy, that's it. There's nothing else going on there.
Yeah. Return of the Mac. Minnesota favored by 6.5 points. Lyle, Denver, Kansas City.
Yeah, there's more starts here than you think. Just looking at Bo Nix, last five games, he's actually averaged 20 fantasy points. A mark that Patrick Mahomes has, I think, failed to do except for one time this entire season. So I think if you're definitely in a deeper league or a super flex league, you're playing Bo Nix no matter what. Maybe a shallower league, 10-team. Maybe he's on your bench, but I think he's right in that conversation for top 12-ish quarterback now. So keep Nix in your lineup. Cortland Sutton, back-to-back 100-yard games. I think he's a safe wide receiver too. And Javonte Williams, it's not the sexiest play, but I think he's just the way the running back position is these days. If you can get 15 touches, that's RB2 material, and I think that's where he fits in. I don't think I can play any of the other Bronco receivers, so Troy Franklin – he might be the best of that bunch, but I'm certainly not playing him this week. As for Kansas City, Mahomes finally got off the schneid and had a pretty good fantasy performance on Monday night. I think this is probably, sadly, I don't know. I think I might have Nick's higher over Mahomes this week as far as fantasy goes. It's just the way it's been. He's had very few big outings. I do like Kareem Hunt still. I think he's the bell cow in that offense, so he's a safe RB1. DeAndre Hopkins looks good. I think he's at least a wide receiver three or a sexy flexy this week. Xavier Worthy, he's such a hit or miss player. I'm going to keep him on the bench this week, but an obvious must start is Travis Kelce, who's now completely dominating and getting double digit targets each week. So I got Kelce, Hunt, and Hopkins as my must starts this week for KC. Yeah. And do play that Kansas City defense as well.
I don't know when the last time is since Tyreek Hill that Mahomes has had a wide receiver who can catch, and Hopkins is that guy. It's pretty cool. Kansas City favored by 7.5. I get Atlanta and New Orleans. Well, again, don't overthink it. Kirk Cousins is doing he's doing Kirk Cousins stuff. You want to put him out there for sure, especially now that that the Saints traded away their best D-back. Bijan's running back one. Drake London, keep an eye on that hip pointer. Darnell Mooney, Ray McLeod, I like them as flexes. And Kyle Pitts, yeah, put him out there. The Saints, and I did say this, I'm starting Atlanta's defense in a league because, well, the Saints are terrible. Derek Carr throwing, as we talked about it off air, hospital balls. Chris Olave's out. And so, okay, your one main start or your one for sure start is an Alvin Kamara because there's just nobody else. We're talking about Marquez Valdes-Scantling maybe coming in. Mason Tipton, Jermaine Jackson, Cedric Wilson. I mean, there's just nobody in New Orleans. If you are desperate, Juwan Johnson in a tight end. And I don't mind starting, as we've talked about, Taysom Hill. He might be the only guy out there with that designation who can catch a pass. Atlanta favored by 3.5. I think they waffle stomp New Orleans this week. Jack, San Francisco, Tampa Bay.
I don't know what waffle stomp it is, but I'm in. Sign me up. I'll take two. All right. So San Fran, Brock Purdy, in spite of missing all of his weapons, the guy's still ranked top 10, at least in our Loon League scoring as far as fantasy QBs go. Tampa Bay's 31st against quarterbacks, so he's got some room to operate there. McCaffrey, everyone, this is not breaking news. I mean, more people know what's going on with McCaffrey than they do with what happened with the election, right? So, you know, if that IR designation gets removed last minute, thank God it's a noon game, right? Keep an eye on it. Just have somebody ready to substitute in. But if he's healthy, you got to start him. There's, if they give him the green light, then you got to go. But don't be surprised if he's capped. Just, know your team. Debo Samuel right now looks like he's a go. If he is, he's a must-start WR1 because there's no one else really there. George Kittle, tight end one this week for sure. And then Juwan Jennings. I personally like Ricky Pearsall. That's going to be my WR. I go with WR2, Juwan Jennings, WR2. A lot of options there. And, I trained away Mason and Garrendo, I think, to you, Lyle. along with Kenneth Walker for Brian Robinson and his backup and something else and Ray Davis.
Pittman.
Oh, and Michael Pittman. Yep, yep. Yeah, I was hoping with Flacco, Pittman was going to excel. It didn't happen last week. We'll see what happens this week. But keep an eye on all of those guys. A lot of questionable tags as you're looking at the Niners going into the weekend. Tampa Bay. All right. I literally just dropped Palmer to pick up Akers in the Loon League just so I could have a backup running back with flex appeal if I needed it. But Mayfield, tremendous quarterback, definitely top 10 fantasy. He's top five in most leagues. He's been 1, 2, 3, and 4. You got to start him if you still have him. Kate Otten, he's tight end one. Rashad White, especially in PPR leagues, this guy's got to go really high. And then hopefully McMillan can get on the field this week. If he does, I like him to be the WR1. If not, look for Shepard and then Palmer backing him up a little bit. But I don't see enough action for Palmer to actually be able to do anything against the Niners. So I'd leave him on the benches and go with Shepard if I had to, as sexy flexy. And again, I got the Bucks and the points. I don't see the Niners beating them by so what I think at them is 6, 6.5 points. So
FanDuel has them at 5.5, San Francisco.
Pittsburgh. I got it at 6.5 yesterday.
Nice. Pittsburgh, Washington, Lyle.
Yeah, the Russell Wilson era has settled in here. He's had two decent starts for the Steelers, but that doesn't mean I'm playing him in my fantasy lineup. I think he can do better this week. There are two starts. Najee Harris, he's had three straight 100-yard games. And, you know, it's kind of quietly the same story for him. He's about, I think, running back 24 in our league. So he's a solid RB2, which is kind of what he's been for his entire career. So suit him up. I think George Pickens as well. He's a little inconsistent, but he's got a wide receiver 3 floor at the very least. So make sure he's in your lineup as well. Pat Freiermuth, he's completely fallen off from his hot start. I think he's had 6 catches the last 3 weeks. So either keep him on the bench or the waiver wire. I do know the Mike Wallace was acquired by the Steelers as well. He's certainly not anyone you're going to want to put in your lineup or trust him for double-digit fantasy points this week. As for Washington, they got some obvious starts. You're playing Jaden Daniels. He might be a steal of the draft this year. I think he's a top 5 quarterback the rest of the way here. Torrey McLaurin is probably wide receiver 2 material. He's been the primary target for Daniels all year. That's not changing anytime soon. The real story is whether Brian Robinson Jr. is going to suit up. He missed last week. If he suits up, I think he's an RB2. If he doesn't, Austin Eckler looks like he would be a RB2. So just make sure you're checking that out Sunday morning before kickoff. And then if you are in a tight end mandatory and you're in a pinch, I think Zach Ertz, just volume-based, I think you could put him in as a tight end option as well. And if he was going to play one of the defenses, I probably would play the Pittsburgh one or certainly hold them for the stretch run. They certainly have a good unit for fantasy purposes the rest of the way.
Rain in the forecast. In fact, it's likely Washington favored by 2.5. Up next, I get Tennessee and the Los Angeles Chargers. Normally, I would fire up a little Michael Jackson here so we could talk about our boy Billy Jeans, but I don't want to even talk about that anymore. He and Mason Rudolph are both looking healthy, and I think what Tennessee's about to do is just finish out the season and see if they have a quarterback in Will Levis. Good for them. I don't think they do. I don't think they have a quarterback in Mason Rudolph either, although he'd breathe a little life into him. Running backs, Pollard is banged up a little bit. Tajay Spears, I don't like either of them. You may not have a better choice. I totally understand. Calvin Ridley is getting targets, and I think is flex or maybe WR2 or 3 material. The wild card here is Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. 4 touchdowns in 4 weeks, and 1 per week. Mm-hmm. His targets are going up. If you're in a deeper league, I think there is a lot worse decisions you can make than rostering this guy and maybe seeing if that trend doesn't continue. And moving on to the Chargers, Lyle talked about it earlier. Justin Herbert, they have transformed this team from week 1 to week 10. They are now passing the ball a lot more, and they're really good at it. So Justin Herbert is a starter this week. Dobbins has kind of been the story of the year for running backs. How the amount of volume he's getting and the fact that he's staying on the field is fantastic. Ladd McConkey is a wide receiver too. Quentin Johnson is probably a flex, and that's where it ends. I don't mind the Chargers defense against Billy Jeans, and the Chargers are favored by 7.5 points. Jack, back over to you. Jets, Arizona.
All right, I've got some breakdown here. People might not like it, but we're going to listen in anyways. Over his last seven games, Rodgers is averaging about 240 yards, two touchdowns, and less than one turnover per game. He's 14-6 interception ratio in the last seven games. And the defenses, John, that he's done this against: New England, yep, Denver, Minnesota, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, at New England, and then Houston. So there's some pretty darn good defenses in there. He's got Arizona, Indy coming to him, and then a bye, and then Seattle coming to him, so that's west to east. Then he's at Miami and Jacksonville. Miami's defense sounds good, but it's because they play the AFC South so much. They're really not that good. So, you know, you're talking starting in the playoffs there with Rodgers. Rodgers is back, man. It just is what it is. He's in the trenches. Now, all the receivers, Wilson, Adams, Conklin, they're all in the trenches for me. Let me tell you who I'm putting on the bench, and that's going to be Breece Hall. And you guys can talk about it all you want to, but over his last six games, Breece Hall has three games with single digits, 3, 6, and 9 points. He's got two games north of 20, and his other game, the sixth game, was 10 points. Now, think about this, John. Think about all those great running backs Aaron Rodgers had with the Packers, right? Seriously, there weren't any. He passes the ball. He does not make running backs excel. It's time to sell high on Breece Hall. Get him off your team. Trade him. That's what I would do in a heartbeat. Otherwise, I'm starting everybody else. On the Arizona side of the ball, it's kind of the same story. I'm starting everybody that I've got. Kyler Murray's in there. He's a QB. I mean, he's probably your starting QB if you have him. Two QB, he's a really good second one. Connor, as long as that questionable tag stays off, he's in. If not, I still go to Benson, but DeMarcado did prove some flex appeal. Harrison, McBride, tight end one. McBride's really the best part of the offense, in my opinion. I like the Jets to win this game, John, and I picked them to win last week against Houston, and I know they were a small favorite, but a lot of people didn't pick them. I think the Jets are back. I think Rodgers is back. I think it's over.
Jets favored by 1.5. I thought that would be bigger than that. Lyle, Philadelphia, Dallas.
Whoa. Who are you, my wife? Calm down.
All yours, Lyle.
Philly, Dallas. Philadelphia is kind of a cookie cutter team for fantasy purposes. Kind of makes your life a little easier when these guys are all healthy. Jalen Hurts, he's a must start. He's had 20 plus fantasy points, I think, each of the last 4 weeks. So make sure he's in your lineup. Saquon Barkley showing off the reverse hurdle last week. Yeah. That was pretty impressive. He's definitely an RB1 and keeps suiting him up. Same with AJ Brown, who looks like he dodged a kind of looked like a somewhat serious knee injury, but he's not even on the injury report. So that's good news for AJ Brown owners. Make sure he's in your lineup. And same with Devonta Smith. He's been a little up and down this year, but you're definitely suiting him up as a wide receiver too. And it looks like we're going to get some Dallas Goedert back. So a little more tight end depth for all the fantasy owners out there. He's set to return from a hamstring injury. I think he missed the last four games or three games. I think week six was the last time he played. So make sure if you have him, I think he's a top 12 option. So suit him up. As for Dallas, the Cooper Rush era begins, and I, as much as he's a good backup, I don't think he's somebody I want to be trusting in a crucial fantasy matchup, so keep him on the bench. Looks like CeeDee Lamb is going to have to gut it out and play through this AC joint sprain. Sounds like it's more of a pain tolerance thing for him, and the way it sounds with him, he wants to play this week, so I think you got to keep suiting him up. Rico Dowdle, he's so hard to figure out. I think I screwed up in a league last week and played Alexander Mattison instead of Rico Dowdle. Dowdle actually had a weird touchdown catch last week, but he's at best the flex option for me this week, just knowing how rough their quarterback situation might be. I'd keep him on the bench, to be honest, if I could. And then Jake Ferguson, I think in tight end mandatory leagues, he's still a viable option. Jalen Tolbert in super deep leagues, I could also make a case for him as a flex option this week, but definitely both defenses on the bench this week.
Philadelphia favored by 7. Sunday Night Football, Detroit versus Houston. Jared Goff, man, what a season this guy's having. I don't know if he's QB1 type material for fantasy, but boy, is he doing, he is winning games. And then they just trade for Za'Darius Smith. Oh man, Detroit is the class of the NFC right now. You're starting Montgomery, you're starting Gibbs, you're starting Amon-Ra St. Brown. And then that's where the question marks begin. Jameson Williams off his suspension. He's the type of guy who can get you two receptions for 160 yards and a score. I just don't know what they're doing with Jameson Williams right now. Maybe a flex play this week, being that it's under the bright lights of Sunday Night Football. And Sam Laporta, no, man, I'm seeing him on waiver wires all over the place right now. I think that experiment, I mean, he's a great football player. There's just, Goff's not throwing the ball enough, and he's got too many people to throw the ball to. Over to Houston. Oh, and you're starting the Lions defense, because Houston has really had an up and down year. But you got to start Stroud. You got to start Mixon. Holy smokes, what a player he's been. Looking like Nico Collins is not going to be on the field for this game. So Tank Dell becomes a immediate start. They'll be throwing the ball all over the place to him. And I guess if you have to, tight end mandatory, Dalton Schultz is fine. Detroit favored by 3.5. And that brings us to Monday Night Football, Jack. Miami and the Rams.
Yeah, this should actually be a good game now that Tua's back. You know, this is a good primetime game. So I've got Achane in the trenches. Tua's in the trenches. Hill, Waddle, Jonnu Smith, tight end mandatory. And here's my bold prediction, John. Raheem Mostert outscores Breece Hall through the remainder of the NFL season. Backup running back in Miami will outscore the starting running back of the New York Jets for the rest of the season. You know, if it was me, I would trade Hall for Mostert and a good wide receiver. I just would. Onto the Rams side of the ball. Again, a team that's been looking pretty darn good now that they've got their complement of receivers back. Kyren Williams, obviously RB1. Nacua, Kupp. I'm so mad for not having Kupp in a league ever. I've never had this guy on my team, and you just know he's going to get 20 receptions. Stafford, I've got him as the kind of the low end of the QBs you can set and forget to get 14, 15 fantasy points. Kind of like Goff, Johnny, like you mentioned. He's not a tier one, you know, like top of the line. But you can set it and forget it. You don't have to worry about getting fantasy points out of him. Yeah. And DeMarcus Robinson should be rostered in every league. 27 fantasy points last week, 17 the week before that, 4 touchdowns in 2 games, 5 touchdowns over his last 4 games. He's got Miami, New England, Philly, New Orleans. I mean, you know, these other guys are drawing the attention, and DeMarcus Robinson's picking up all the scraps, and it's working out well.
Yeah. Lily Rams favored by 1.5 points. And that is going to bring us to a close for this week. If you missed any part of today's show, grab that free 94.1 The Loon app for your iPhone or your Android device, or go online, 941theloon.com, stream the show there. We want to thank our producer, Nate Thomas. And for Lyle and Jack, my name is John Jennings. We'll see you next Saturday at 10 on The Loon for the Fantasy Football Foursome.